this thing about you. We've been dancing on the floor all night. Do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby? Let's get out of here. Girl, you got this thing about you. You like to wear your jeans real tight. You sexy and I wanna rock you. You stress.
Now this song got you glowing on the dance floor. So tell me what it's hitting for.
Some money, a dinner. What college do I need to send her? Tech a year. You got me mixing full sail. Into a dinner. No needs I want to be in her. And overseas is where I want to tender. FedEx, a list, but don't sign it with my heart. I know you used to be a small, but I can change more to oil. And I ain't talking about the gold cards. So to let me pop that trunk and let me put my laser gun in the back. And let it beat against the sack. Cause I don't know how to act when it comes to that. So I'ma let Elion bring the hook back.
Girl, you got this thing about you. Dancing on the floor all night. Do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby? Let's get out of here. Girl, you got this thing about you. You like to wear your jeans real tight.
That's right.
You sexy and I wanna rock you.
Yep.
You stress me.
Yep.
She's like a stallion at Derby. No other girls walk to her beat. She's thick plus her plates are perky. Damn, baby girl,
come with me
to a world unknown. Enigma, I'm on her like lumberjack timber. Atmosphere cloudy, snow cap December. And I can't seem to get her up
off her knees. She's aggressive and I like her aggression. And she likes the progression to the sky. We're so high, so high, so high.
Must not know, I'm really spaced out, constantly up in the cosmos, and she make my head spin, cyclone, I think I need to get a grip, python, way out of control, we both wildin', fresh air traffic control to both islands, lost in each other, lose all sense of timing, as long as she's smiling, hey.
Girl, you got this thing about you, we been dancing on the floor all night, do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby, let's get out of here. This thing about you. You like to wear your jeans real tight. You sexy and I wanna rock you. You stress me.
You're my little piece of heaven. That's what you are to me.
That's what you are to me.
That's what you are. No matter the weather, you shine bright for all to see.
Looking
on my mind.
You're my little piece of heaven. That's what you are to me.
That's what you are
to me.
That's what you are.
No matter the weather, you shine bright for all to see.
So bright for all to see.
The peace of the inner life.
Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, J.R. Williams, alongside Michael Calloway. We have some excellent guests tonight and some terrific new music. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride on today's Entrepreneurs.
How's it going out there, folks? We had some technical difficulties in the beginning, but we are right with you. Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams. How you doing out there, folks?
We have a great show lined up for you tonight. We have author Terry Woods.
Yes.
We have several other entrepreneurs. We have Buddy Byrne, who's actually our next guest. And Buddy Byrne is from a company called 911 Buddy, he invented a product. Let's see what it's about. Buddy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you guys?
Good. How's it going, buddy?
All right, it's going wonderful.
So, buddy, can you give us a brief rundown of your background?
Absolutely. I have been a fireman for 30 years, okay? And in the 30 years, I've seen a lot of people perish because of one simple thing. The ambulance or the fire truck, whatever the case is, can't find the address on the person's house. In these days and times, homes are not marked in the same spot. Okay, some have numbers on the garage door, and some have them on the house, and some got them in the mailbox, right? Yep. The item that I invented is a portable unit. It's very small, runs on a 9-volt battery, and it has in it these very intense, bright LED lights. So now, if someone in your house is sick, ill, injured, or whatever, and you have to call for 911, you simply go to the front door where the item is hanging, sticks to any glass, any window, hangs from a doorknob, hangs from your mailbox, anywhere, and you pull the little cord. And this intense, bright light flashes out into the street. Now, as the ambulance turns on your road, he doesn't have to slow down to check the address, especially, guys, on a night like tonight. It's raining, you know, outside. It's kind of foggy a little bit. This light lights up the whole block, and it also alerts neighbors. Now, the ambulance or fire truck would know exactly where to go where your emergency is. And the item sells for $19.99.
Now, how much better can you get? I mean, it sounds pretty good. I mean, just to say, now, if you yourself was hurt, you know, let's just say an older person for that matter, all right, and they fall and they're hurt, how would they actually, you know, make it to that device to put it on?
Well, let's put it like this, okay? Anybody who's hurt, injured, sick, or ill, they still have to call 911.
Yes.
Okay? That's fine. Problem is, the ambulance and the fire trucks and whatnot have problems finding your exact address. Now, my item, like I said, is a portable unit. You can take it with you in the car, on the boat, anywhere that you are. If you're hunting, you're hiking, you're camping, whatever the case is.
Okay.
It's kind of like a homing beacon.
Gotcha.
It sends out a big red flashing light.
Now, how big is this product? Is it something that can clip on to your belt, or how would you bring it with you portably?
Well, the product itself sits in its own case, its own bag. You can stick it in your pocket. You can stick it in a knapsack, in your pocketbook, in the glove box of the car, in the first aid kit of the car. Okay? It's a portable small unit. It's maybe 3 inches wide by 6 inches long.
Okay.
Okay? And it clips or hangs or sticks anywhere, especially at home. We've sold thousands and thousands and thousands of units. We've gotten feedback from hundreds and hundreds of people how it helped save them. We've gotten hundreds of calls from fire departments, from ambulance corps, who say that this is the best thing they've ever seen.
Now, the police love these at?
You can buy them online at www.my911buddy.com. Again, that's my911buddy.com. And on there, you'll see like a video of how the item works and how it's used. It's a fantastic item, guys. I've gotten calls from all kinds of people how the ambulance couldn't find their house and was driving back and forth in front of the house because they couldn't find a number.
Now, come up with the design of this?
It's my idea. It's my patent. Yes, I had this idea 20 years ago. And life happens, and you just don't do anything about it. You say, oh, I'll do it later, you know?
Yeah.
Well, one night about 3 years ago, I was trying to find a person's address. And the lady who called said her husband was having a heart attack, and he's laying on the floor. As we drove down the street, we could not find the address. The house wasn't marked right. And we drove past the house 3 times. And by the time we finally found it and we got inside, the husband was dead. And there was no way to bring him back. And I said, then, because I was the one who was driving the ambulance, I said, I have to do this thing now. I made the idea. I came up with it years ago, and I finally put it into action. And people love it. The cops love it. The Coast Guard loves it. If you're stranded out there on a boat, right?
Yeah.
You know, at night or something, this item shines a mile and a half away on the water.
Wow.
And the Coast Guard can see it from, you know, a mile and a half away.
Yeah, this sounds like a really good product. Once again, we're talking to Buddy Byrne from 911 Buddy. Now, Buddy, you said you sold thousands and thousands of these. Do you find that people buy just one, or are they buying multiple items at a time?
Well, I find that when somebody orders, okay, they end up ordering a few of them, and here's why. They order one for the car. They order one for the mother-in-law. They order one for the father-in-law. They order one for their, you know, their niece or nephew, whoever the case is. All right? The item can be used by anybody. It's as simple as pulling a cord to activate a light. When you pull the cord, there's a special keyway in there, and the keyway comes sliding out, which activates this light. When the emergency is over, you simply plug the keyway back into the 911 Buddy, and it's ready for use again. The beautiful thing about this is...
Go ahead.
Yes?
No, go ahead.
The beautiful thing about this, okay, is my item will actually work for 3 straight days. If you pull the cord and activate those lights... Mm-hmm. Again, it runs on 9-volt battery and LED lights. Mm-hmm. The item will run continuously for 3 days.
That should be enough time to get...
How do you charge the battery?
Okay. You don't have to charge it. It's a regular 9-volt battery, the same as in a smoke alarm. Okay. If the unit is unused, its battery will not lose charge. Okay? Okay. We recommend, same as your smoke alarms, you change it once every 6 months.
Now, can you tell us the price and where people can find this once again?
Yes, it's on the web, and they can get it, again, www.my911buddy.com. That's M-Y, the number 9, the number 1, the number 1, buddy.com. And it sells for $19.99. We also sell it in quantities to the fire departments at a wholesale price, allowing them to make money to raise funds for their fire department.
Now, are you making this yourself, or are you contracting it out to actually be put together for you?
The entire item, the entire piece is made, developed, and manufactured on Long Island.
Okay, so...
It's made on Long Island, New York.
That alone is excellent.
Was that a conscious effort for you to keep it made in the USA?
Yes, absolutely. I don't want to send it over to China. I want to keep our money here. Gotcha.
Well, tell our audience, how much money do you actually lose by keeping it here? So they can have an appreciation for...
Well, I lose a lot of money by keeping it here. But if I sent the item over to China... They're just going to make it cheaper, and they're going to make it not as good, and they're going to sell it cheaper and make everything about it cheaper. It's a quality item. It's guaranteed for as long as the owner owns it. So if they have it for 10 years and something in it goes wrong, I replace the unit for anything except a battery.
So that's the only thing that needs to be done is have the battery replaced once it's been used, correct?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. If you use the item for an hour, or for 2 hours, or 3 hours, you plug the keyway back in, and the item will work the next time you go to use it. Just like I said, it's battery, and the light will flash for 3 full days on continuous use.
Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Buddy Byrne from 911 Buddy. Buddy, can you just give your final parting shots and your contact information one more time?
Sure. The web address is www.my911buddy.com. And if anybody wants to call me directly, you can reach me, area code 516-312-7446. And guys, I thank you very much. You have a great show.
You too. Thank you, Buddy. It's an excellent product that you came out with. And I'm sure, it's like you said, it's helping a lot of people. And we appreciate you giving that type of thought and, you know, coming up with something so great.
I got a story about a guy who was hiking, and he got lost in the woods at night. And he pulled the 911 Buddy out of his backpack, pulled the cord, and laid the item on the floor. And the helicopter saw the red light, and they saved him.
I was going to say hiking, I could imagine. But, Buddy, thank you very much, Buddy.
I thank you, guys.
Okay, you take care.
Take care, Buddy.
Bye.
That's an amazing product.
Very interesting, very well-thought product.
Said he was a firefighter for 30 years, and he thought of that.
I've seen the ambulance go up and down the street plenty of times. You know, and that's... You'd be amazed, just take something. Like he said, the person had a heart attack, passed out, and that gave him the kick he needed to get that plan in motion.
Yep.
Well,
ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is Terry Woods. Terry Woods is an esteemed author. You can find her at www.terrywoodspublishing.com. Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Excellent to have you on the show tonight.
So, Terry, why don't we start by you telling us what made you want to become a writer?
Well, you know, I actually wrote Truth to the Game in 92, 93. And it just really lingered for quite a long time. It wasn't something that made me want to be a writer. A friend of mine read the book and said, you got to do something with this. You got to do something with this. And I was like, really? And I had been in this closet for like maybe 6 years.
Wow.
Before I actually did anything with it. I just, you know.
You just had it sitting.
So when
pretty
did you
much,
actually...
Yeah.
When did you actually put that book out?
The first time was 1998.
Okay. So True to the Game first came out in 1998.
In 1998, I met a guy named Brian Murray. And he helped me. He had the books handmade. We had this lady. Her name was Naveline. A little stationery shop in South Philly, and she glued them up.
My hands.
Yeah. Now, all the pages would fall apart and everything. It was a hustle.
Oh, God.
That was a hustle right there.
That's from the ground up right there. Where are you originating from?
And the thing
from,
was that it was typed on a typewriter.
Type on a typewriter.
Books. I have three of those. I am from Philadelphia.
Okay,
my family's from Philadelphia.
So you are from Philadelphia now, because I read the book, and so I was curious of that. I didn't know if
are you from Philadelphia?
No, I'm not. So that's what when I read it. Then I'm trying to think.
I always tell people you have to Google my uncle. His name's Georgie Woods.
Georgie Woods?
Mm-hmm. Philadelphia.
Okay. Is that now? Is
Google
this
him
where
with
the aspiration
anybody. Like,
came
you could
from?
Actually Google him. You could Google him next to anybody, like Georgie Woods, and probably put in Ray Charles, and something would come up. Or Georgie Woods and John Lennon, like the Beatles, and something would come up. Or Georgie Woods and Dick Clark, or Georgie Woods and Kenny Gamble, or like you could put in anything regarding Georgie Woods, and it's going to come up. Oh, you could put in Georgie Woods and Malcolm X, and something would come up.
Okay.
You could
okay.
put in Georgie so, Woods and Martin Luther King, and something would come up.
That's where I'm from. Is this where the aspirations came for your writing, or where the stories came about, anyway? Or
there's always a silent message of the struggle.
Okay.
Somewhere in all of the books, I think.
Gotcha.
And especially the ones that I partake in, you know, I on a creative level, there's always something there, you know, even like you know, with Dutch 3 and explaining why the father was the way he was, and you know, from Dutch 1, his father was on that mission, you know, like every little detail, there's always the
Some
tiniest little details you wouldn't even know it is. You know, it's something from that civil rights era, something from my family originating from Augusta, Georgia. And, you know, my uncle was a part of that Chitlin Circuit.
Wow. Okay.
Mom's Mabley. You could Google my uncle and Mom's Mabley.
Mom's
so that's Mabley. Where I come from, Philadelphia. And my father was, and my uncle Mo, they were sort of, you know, they didn't follow the steps of Uncle George. Let's put it like that.
Okay, I think we get it.
You know, because these were, you know, nobody was allowed to go to school. They all had to pick cotton. You know, so it's not like we're talking the educated. You know, this was rough life. And, you know, my uncles were in the streets. And, you know, one of my uncles was very much in the street. My father, you know, and he ended up getting in a little bit of trouble. He had a speakeasy. Everybody used to go to my father's speakeasy behind the Uptown Theater. You know, like, you could, like, quote me on this. There's serious people who could tell you they were in the speakeasy with my mm-hmm. father. And, you know, partying. And, you know, something happened, and whatever happened, they ended up in going back to, you know, Delaware, where my mother was from when I was 5 years old. And so I grew up down in Delaware, and then I went back to Philly when I was 16.
I wanted to ask you, Terry, when did you feel, when is it that you knew that, you know, you had something going with the writing, or what particular book did you put out where you felt like, you know, you sort of made it in the field of writing?
Probably like when, you know, it's different levels of it, I guess. You know when you don't have to work anymore, you know when you don't need a day job, that your creativity is able to provide a roof over your head and you don't have to work. You're able to focus on that.
Absolutely.
And build the business. Then, you know, different things happen, you know, throughout, you know, your career. You're awarded, or, you know, you're given accolades. You're given, you know, honor amongst your peers. People that you admire you. You know, so little things as you go along, and you deal in the ladder, and you realize that you know, you've created a certain amount of success, or a certain amount of
when your fan base, when you're getting a lot of response,
from wealth
back
to power to responsibility, the whole nine, it all falls underneath it.
Gotcha. Your first novel, True to the Game, just so our listeners know, how many copies have sold to date?
I have, you know, because I sort of turned it over to Grand Central, I have no idea. So okay. I would imagine, you know, part two and part three made the New York Times list. Part three was on the New York Times list, I think, for what, like 6 weeks?
Now, is that's a big marker.
That's massive. That's massive, massive movement. That's massive, you know, like you sort of feel the people.
Yeah.
You like look at those lists, or you look at, you know, SoundScan, or you look at BookScan, and you're like, exactly. Yeah, people are listening. I can feel them listening. You know what I mean? You can feel it, like, you know. So,
as a writer, is that basically what a writer's trying to do, more or less? I mean, if they're trying to, you know, just in their own ability, know that they made it. Is New York Times highlight?
I mean, I say that to say, meaning, writing is a mental for me. You know, I don't know if anybody's read New York's Finest, or anybody that's listening that's read New York's Finest, but you know. There's a certain level in everything I do, even with Alibi 2. Oh my God, it's unbelievable because the mental level that it goes to, the mental level of you know, just even being able to think on that level, I guess, and then being able to translate it on paper. Which is something that I'm really pretty good at doing, but the thing about it is, if you're able to do it, and you're able to sit back and mentally hold a person, and then you have an understanding that you possibly might be holding hundreds of thousands of people, or tens of thousands of people, or possibly millions of thousands of people at the same time.
Yeah, yes. So, Terry,
that's what something like a New York Times list tells you, that, like, wow, you're doing these, you know, obviously people in the masses are buying you and reading you right now. That's how I thought about
it's an absolutely great marker. I would just imagine, being an avid reader myself, and like, you know, I tend to look at the, you know, the New York Times just to get an idea of who's out and things. So I mean, I could imagine.
You gotta check out New York's Finest.
Oh, New York's Finest. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
What projects are you currently working on right now?
I'm really trying to get Angel 2 where I want it to be, and release that this year, and I'm working on a children's line.
Okay.
With my son.
Which is, how old is your son?
He's seven.
So are you going to have him take part in the writing process with you?
Yeah, he helps me. He gives me a lot of input, you know, and then I think of, you know, everything is like really their whole spiel, you know, so they're definitely a part of it.
Probably donate proceeds. You know what path you're going to take with the children's line? Like, what direction? Or do you have a particular character, you know, that you're thinking about?
It's a 10-book series. It's, you know, it's Lucas's Magical Playroom. It's based on my son's playroom. And he's, you know, four stuffed animals from Beverly Hills.
Okay. Okay, that's definitely...
That's funny.
Well, you know, and... Wow. And it just goes on and on and on. But there's 10 books, you know, and it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Right now, I'm focusing on the total ebook movement and the conversion of my line and my company's line, and that whole transition, you know.
That's a lot going on out there right now. You know, the e-lines, like you mentioned, I think is big. We had an author up here the other day, and she was kind of giving us information on, her thing was audiobooks, for instance, but she was just explaining how it's a little bit easier for up-and-coming authors to kind of just do an audiobook, you know, or maybe to start out like that. But you mentioned the e-lines. I mean, I'm you know, I have one of the Droid phones. I do a lot of reading from my from Kindle, rather. But I'm able to read a lot more because, you know, I might be waiting outside to pick somebody up. I could be, you know, just waiting for food to get cooked or what have you. And I'm reading pages on the phone, you know, so I find that I make it through books a lot more, easier, a little more efficient.
You know what it's going to boil down to at the end of the day? It's so hard on an independent level to move a book. It's so hard to put your book together and do all these things, and then you're not allowed to be in a store, you're not allowed to have shelf space, you're not allowed to, you know, it's just a really bad design, and it's just gotten worse over time. And it was much better, and it was much easier when I first started. But now it's really quite difficult, and your printing costs are going up. And I mean, then again, look at what you're doing to the trees. So in a way, we have the opportunity to take advantage of being able to reach one another and being able to purchase whatever we want through these gadgets, which. It's just unbelievable, and Steve Jobs is absolutely amazing, and you know, I'm just so excited for the prospect of e-booking my line. So when I come out with something, you know, you e-market and you let people know and let them download into their library, and you know, they have the book forever. They don't have to worry about losing it. They don't have to worry about space. They don't have to worry about somebody taking it. It's perfect. So, you know, I'm all for it. And like I said, it's going to allow us to create platforms for ourselves where we can, on a business level, do business without so much interference.
Exactly.
Which is just wonderful for me because I'm just sick of it personally.
Yeah, I mean, aren't we all? Well, Terry,
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
We're going to have to wrap this up, but it was wonderful having you on the line. Just can you give out your final parting shots and contact information for our listeners, please?
Let me just say thank you to all the listeners who are fans, and I appreciate everybody's support. You can always reach me at www.terrywoodspublishing.com, and you can also go to BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, and order any of the books at any time. And you can also order them from my website if you want them personally autographed. And that's really about it. Look for me in the look for me on your iPad and your Kindle and your Nook.
We'll be looking out for the the new Angel.
Was that Angel Part 2? As soon as, you know, I'm very particular, so it has to be right. And I would rather it be perfect and right than to not be at all. Definitely. So when it's right, it will be released. And like I said, in the meantime, Circle Part 2 just came out this past summer, and New York's Finest was my last release. Okay. By Sam Black, which is unbelievable. So, you know, I'm really excited to be back out the trunk of the car, and I'm really excited to be independently moving product again. And I look forward to reaching everybody. And sorry I missed my interview last week.
It's so great, great character by just actually calling in and you know, making up. And we appreciate that very much.
Yes, we appreciate it, Terry. Thank you very much.
Take care,
okay,
Terry.
Okay, well, we'll talk later. Okay. Thank you
All right,
so
Terry.
Much.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Terry Woods.
Terry Woods, ladies and gentlemen, the esteemed author.
I mean, she has, she must have.
She's got to have at least
20 books.
Tons. She owns, she has her own publishing company. Check her out at terrywoodspublishing.com. Our next guest is a repeat guest. He was on Wednesday with us. We have Steve the Dean Williams on the phone. Steve, how's it going on?
Steve with us.
Steve, are you with us, Steve?
Come on, Ben. What's up, Ben?
Well, Steve might have dropped off.
Steve got us.
No, can y'all hear me?
Oh, Steve, you're back.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I was just saying that joint, she sound pretty hot, man. You know, real smooth, like cocoa butter. Now, what's going on, guys?
We're doing all right, Steve. Yeah, that's a real a smart, intelligent woman right there, Steve. Well, since we're on the subject, Steve, how would you once again, this is Steve Williams. He's from the School of Dating.com. He is a relationship expert. Steve, what type of approach would a person use to talk to a woman of that professionalism and intelligence?
His stature.
Okay, well, here's the problem. The problem is you're trying to separate the herd. You're trying to separate church from state. The problem is that at the end of the day, she's a goddamn woman, all right? And you don't need to do circus tricks to impress someone like that. You really need to be a man. You walk up to her, you introduce yourself, you shake her hand, you don't use a pickup line. You say, hey, how you doing? My name is Steve. You know, I would love to take you out for coffee or something like that. You know, I know you're probably busy right now. I don't want to hold up too much of your time. Here's my card. You call me. From this point on, guys, you never accept a woman's goddamn number. That is the killer thing that a lot of you guys do. Because the thing is, can I break that down real quick, guys?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Go check this out, guys. Get your crayons out. Get your goddamn crayons out. Let me break this down. So check this out. See, you got to understand something. When a woman is dealing with a man like me, I'm giving her attention. I'm giving her dick. I'm doing the whole nine. But a lot of women are very emotional. They want, you know, to feel good about themselves or, you know, maybe me taking them out to dinner when it's not even warranted. That's where the humans come in. You see, you guys go around meeting women all the time, and, you know, they give you their number, and then you're running behind them, calling them, blowing up their phone, begging, pleading, cupcaking, handcuffing. You don't need to do that. When you are a man and you have women or you know you can get women, you become the prize. So, look, call me because that throws the whole thing off a kilter because a man who – think about this, guys. If you had five women in your stable, okay, would you care – if she called you or not?
You wouldn't.
Man, here's the best thing about it. And here's the best thing about it. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. See, back in the olden days, guys, when everything was in black and white and stuff, when women lived, when women have like morals and shit back then, the thing about it is women used to have a handkerchief. And the thing was, a woman would drop a handkerchief near a guy, he'd pick it up, and then, so to speak, like a courtship would start off. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, guys. If a woman likes you guys, what is she going to do?
She's going to do something to get your attention.
She's going to call you. I'm saying, if you gave her your card and she was interested in you, she will call you.
She's going to call you, yeah, definitely.
But so, yeah, so this simplifies everything where you don't have to sit there and say, what if? Does she like me? Do I have to keep calling her and bugging her and blowing up her phone to make her feel good about herself? You
just
don't need to
do that.
Men don't
her
act
hand,
that way.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, don't think women don't like dick, guys. Women like dick more than we do. I mean, they love dick. I mean, not that we do. What the hell am I saying? I mean, you know what I mean, guys. Women yeah, love dick the way we love pussy. Let me rephrase that. But the thing is that a woman will call you. Don't get it twisted. If she's really interested in you, she's going to make a move.
Well, Steve, we have a question from out of the chat room. Lindsay1827 from New York asks, do all men cheat?
I won't say all men cheat, but you have to understand this. All men love, well, most men, we would say 95, 98% of men, where you have the soft guys, the humans, betas, and the homosexuals that don't like women. The thing is, ladies, that men won't cheat, but if the opportunity presents itself, most would. I won't say all of them would, but most would. That's why I always try to tell women that they can never have male friends, because that guy that's with you right now, he wants to sleep with you. He wants that ass. You know? And, oh, well, yeah, but here's the thing. Her name is Lindsay. Lindsay, and I'm just, I wanted you to do this with all your guy friends. Offer him the ass. Say, you know what, you can have this ass. Nobody will know. You know, I know you're in a relationship. Because here's the thing. A lot of people nowadays do that group thing. You know, husbands and wives are hanging out with it. You know, they all hang out together.
Yeah.
Go ahead and offer that husband or your girl's boyfriend some ass. And I guarantee it, 9 times out of 10, he'll take it if he doesn't get caught. Mm-hmm. But he's supposed to be your friend and everything. You know what I mean?
Yep. whole thing shit. One time I heard, I think Chris Rock said it best. He was like, he's like, men only cheat to the extent of the opportunities available to them.
Always.
And
always.
I felt that interesting.
I mean, guys, let me ask you a question. Yeah, you're with a woman. Not to say, I mean, I'm not trying to get y'all in trouble or anything like that. But men don't get in trouble. But anyway, but if Kim Kardashian or some hot piece of ass, why would you say, hey, you know what? You can have this. We'll go get a hotel. I won't say nothing. You can destroy it. You can blow my back out. It's all yours. You can have it right now. And don't say no. We won't tell nobody. I won't. The paparazzis won't know. Your woman won't know. You can have this ass right now. Come on, guys. What are you going to do? Now, I don't know if your women are listening to this shit, but, you know, we talking men talk. So what would you do, though? Would you say?
The funny thing about that, Steve, is somebody of a Kim Kardashian stature, though, I would think that at least 50% of the women out there would not mind. I don't think that they would really hold that against you. What would they expect you to do?
Well, no, hold on. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm saying if you were with a woman and Kim or a hot, I won't say any. Think of a hot woman that you really would love to nail. She came up to you, tapped you on the shoulder, said, "I want that dick. I want that dick, and I won't tell anybody. It will be our little secret. You have it just one time, and nobody's going to know about it. It'll be our secret. Would you do it?"
So you think the statistics are about 98% of men would do it?
That's basically we don't need it. All right, never mind. You answered my question. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay, Steve, we have another question from the chat room. Tyshawn from Philadelphia asks, what's your advice on dating women with kids?
Okay, that's a great one. The thing about dating a woman with a kid is you're not dating the mother. The thing you need to focus on is the kid. The kid is going to tell you everything you need to know about the mother. The problem is that a lot of guys mess around. Now, again, I always tell guys, you know, you can nail a single mom, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't play daddy to some kid who's going to tell you you ain't my daddy like 15, 20 years from now trying to challenge you and shit. But if you have a woman that has a child that is an honor roll student, you know, they make good grades, they're real, they have manners, you know, just to have a lot of great qualities to them, that's a good woman right there. Because if you knock that woman up, you will always know that she's going to take care of the kid. You know what I mean? She's not going to dump the kid off at grandma's or Aunt B's house or wherever. So what I would tell you, young man, is look, go date the mom, hang out with the mom, but watch the interaction between the mom and the kid. If she's cussing the kid out, saying your daddy ain't shit, you ain't shit, you know, I'm going to dump the kid. If she's doing those type of behaviors, you need to go head to the hills, man. Bad situation.
Now, Steve, I got to tell you that you could take this act on the road.
He's like, it's not an act, though.
Tell what act? Steve. It's not an act. I mean, what? Wait, hold on. Can I act for a second? Wait, let me do an act. Here I am. This is Steve the Dean Williams in Shakespeare's Being a Human. I'm sorry, honey, for being a man, and I apologize, and what can I do to make things better, and here are my balls, and here's my spine, and I'm so sorry. Okay, there you go, guys. That was my acting role.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Steve Williams from the schoolofdating.com. Steve, can you just give your final parting shots and your contact information once again?
Yeah, you can reach me at www.schoolofdating.com. We have, like I say, we have a live radio show. We have podcasts, videos, free video boot camps, live dating chat site. We got a lot of information for guys who really want to know what it means to be a man.
I definitely went on the site, Steve, and, I see some information up there. That's all I'm going to say. You got some nice shots, nice pictures right on the front page. I just want to go ahead and co-sign that people definitely need to go to that website and check it out.
TheSchoolofDating.com. Well, Steve, thanks for calling in tonight. Thanks for being with us.
Steve, all right, thank you, guys. You next time. All right. Take care.
Take care, all Steve. Right. Once again, that's always entertaining, Steve Williams. We have to bring him on once a week, maybe. I mean, this guy's great.
another Williams right there. I got to check the genealogy.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a 46-year-old entrepreneur by the name of Mike Scanlon. He's created a company called Born to Sell. You can find them at www.borntosell.com. If you want to call in, you can call in at 888-429-5471. Mike Scanlon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Well, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Most recently, before Born to Sell, I was in the venture capital business. So I was helping startups get funded. I did that for about 6 years. And before that, I was an investment banker where I was selling VC-type deals to venture capitalists. And before that, early in my career, I was a software engineer for about 12 years.
Okay, interesting. So how did you start BornToSell.com?
Sure. As a VC, you know, I had been funding other people's dreams for quite a while, and I decided that I wanted to chase my own dream, which was to have a company related around covered calls, which is an investment strategy. It's a conservative sort of income-oriented strategy. And so I quit my venture capital job and hired some people online around the world. I found them on Elance.com and Odesk.com, where you can find outsourced providers, graphic designers, programmers, QA people, and hired a team. It took about 18 months to build the service, and we launched it about a year and a half ago.
So if I'm a client, a potential client, how do I utilize your service? What is the process?
Sure. So we have a free trial sign up. You can go to borntosell.com and click on the free trial button and see everything we have with no risk and no charge. What we do is we provide an investment filter and an investment portfolio management software. So in the world of covered calls, there are many choices that you can make investments into. There's around 200,000 of them, and our software will help you reduce the universe of 200,000 covered calls down to 10 or 20 that you may want to invest in for the next month or so. And then once those trades have been put on, we have a portfolio management software that helps you manage those trades and maximize your income per month that you receive from selling call options against the stocks that you own.
Now, what exactly are covered calls?
Sure. It's a two-part investment strategy. The first part is you own some underlying stocks, so you could own 100 shares of Apple or Nike or whatever you'd like to own. And then the second part is you sell a call option against those shares to generate income. And what a call option is, an agreement between two people where the seller agrees to sell his stock at a certain price by a certain date in exchange for some money that you give them today. And the buyer of the call option pays a little bit of money today in exchange for the right to buy some stock at a certain price on or before a certain date. And what happens is, you know, time passes and the stock will go up or down. And if the stock rises above the price that the two parties agreed to, then the buyer of the option will exercise his right to buy the stock at that agreed-to price, and the seller will be forced to give up his shares. But if the stock stays below that price by the time the option expires, then the option seller keeps the income that he received at the beginning of the trade. He still has his stock, and then he can sell another call option for the next period. So you can do it every month and basically generate a little bit of income each month from stocks that you own. It's kind of conceptually, it's like getting a dividend every month on shares that you own.
And how long have you been doing covered calls?
You know, a long time. I've been doing it about 30 years, actually. Not at full time, but as a hobby and with my own personal investment money. My father was a stockbroker, still is. And when I was growing up as a teenager, you know, our dinner table conversations were largely around the subject of covered call investing or options trading in general. And I made my first trade when I was 16. I've been trading covered calls ever since. And the bulk of my personal assets are tied up in covered calls. It's a fairly conservative strategy. It is the number one most popular options-based strategy of all option strategies a person can do. And it's also very conservative. It's more conservative than buy and hold, which is a strategy that a lot of people use where they just buy stock and wait. Covered calls would be more conservative than that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Mike Scanlon from BornToSell.com. Now, Mike, how have you been promoting and marketing your site?
Yeah, you know, in our space, there's the pay-per-click ads are very expensive because we're competing with online brokerage firms. The phrase covered calls will actually cost you about $13 per click if you advertise on Google. And given our conversion rates, that we can't make money if we attract visitors at $13 per click. So we had to go the SEO route, which is search engine optimization. We issue press releases. We write guest articles on other people's blogs. We have our own blog. We're constantly updating our site with content. And all of this adds up to an increased rankings in Google organic search results so that when someone types in covered calls, we show up on the page one results. We've been doing that for over a year and a half now. That's a lot of writing. And we rank on page one results for over 100 different phrases that you can type into Google and we'll show up on the page one results. And the net result of that is that we get, you know, tens of thousands of people per month who come to our site for free because they find us in the Google search results.
Okay, sounds nice. And I just want to let our listeners know that I've personally used odesk.com before. It's a good service. You guys should all try it out. www.odesk.com. Once again, this is Mike Scanlon from BornToSell.com. So, Mike, tell us where do you see Born to Sell going in the future?
Sure. So right now we focus on covered calls exclusively, and we've had many requests from our users to branch out into other related option trading strategies. One is naked puts, which is where you just short a put option without owning the stock, and it's conceptually very similar to a covered call trade. So we may add a screener for naked puts. We have requests for multiple portfolios because people have a taxable account and then they might have a retirement account like an IRA. They want to track them separately. So adding additional features, but all generally related to option trading is probably where we would be going.
Well, Mike, can you give our listeners your final parting shots and all your contact information once again?
Of course. I would say that if anybody owns stocks and they're not writing covered calls against those stocks, they're leaving money on the table every month. You know, they can come to our site, which is borntosell.com, and sign up for a free trial, enter their stock positions, and then we'll show you how much income you can generate from those stocks every month. And it is free to try, so there's really no reason not to give it a go.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. This is a great site. I'm going to check this out myself. Once again, that's borntosell.com. We're talking to Mike Scanlon. We want to thank you for coming on the show.
Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
I'm going on there either first thing in the morning or later on tonight.
You got a bunch of stocks?
I'm definitely going to check it out, see what he's talking about. The term leaving money on the table sounds interesting to me.
That caught your ear, right?
That caught my ear. Well, let's get into some new music, and we'll be back on the flip side.
All right.
Yeah. I just wanna have some fun, girl. Let's make it a night. Better yet, forever. Let's play in my fun world. Where the colors shine bright. When we're together, shawty, be easy. Why do you tease me? You do it so effortless. Hope you're prepared for this, right? T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Ensemble keeps it 100, feeling like Rondo, smooth assist. Ooh, I'm happy that you exist. How could I move if you resist? I'll be right here on the dance floor greeting you with a kiss. Kiss.
Yes, we are back. Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams.
So, J.R., I was thinking, you know, since we have a lot of authors that call in and that are our guests.
Yes.
Maybe we should have a book club.
Book club, you know? That's...
Sounds like a good idea.
Definitely a good idea.
You know, we can pick one of the books from one of our authors and...
Yeah.
We can maybe take one day a week or twice a month, maybe in chapter 1 through 3 for the first 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just give it chapters and
it. Yeah,
and talk about the book twice a month.
You know, that's a real good idea. We got to see what
our listeners think.
But, you know, me being an avid book reader, it's like I told Terry, man, I read 3 different books at a time, you know. Even my wife cracks up sometimes. She's like, you know, how you do that? Yeah. I like to jump around, man, but like I said, having it on the phone, I'm jumping around, and you know, and it's just a quick way to, you know, stay in tune, man, with something that you like if you're into that. But I like that idea.
Well, listeners, if you like the idea of a book club, call in. Phone number is 888-429-5471. Or you can contact us through Skype, BBS Radio 2.
Some of our authors, you know, if you want to e-book, send us a copy of the e-book, rather, or of your audio book.
And, or a hard copy book. You can contact us at todaysradio@gmail.com. We will give you all the mailing information. You know, I just got a book, the audio books from Adele Park.
Yeah. Oh,
she sent us a couple copies. Yeah, I gotta give you one so we can check those out. She sent about 5 copies. Listeners, if you're looking for a copy of audio book from one of our previous guests, Adele Park, call in 888-429-5471.
Yeah, we'll pass those right out to you. I'm going to have to get a copy of that myself so I can give that a spin. And, you know, probably that would be a great book to start off the book club with.
With an audio book, too. Easy. There's no reading, just listening.
You know, that's good for everybody in the gym, you know, in the morning. If you, you know, you're out jogging, the dog, what have you. Yeah.
Now, our next guest is also an author. We have a best-selling author, Valerie J. Coleman Lewis, with us on the line. Valerie, how are you doing?
I am well, and how about yourself?
Good, good.
We're doing great. So why don't you give us a little background information about Valerie Coleman Lewis?
Well, it's Valerie J. Lewis Coleman, flip-flop, but that's okay.
Okay.
The a little bit about me. Let's see. I've been writing for a while now. I actually have written 3 books, working on my 4th. Blended Families and Anthology was my first book for step families. So when I married my husband, he had 3 kids. I had 2, not the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
It was and still is a challenge. So if your listeners are in step family dynamic, they definitely want to check that one out. Then my second book, I teach writing and publishing to inmates and high school students. So my second book, Tainted Mirror and Anthology, really focuses more on that group of people and just people in general. When you have something in your life that someone said or someone did, or your own stinking thinking, this book really deals with how we allow those things to limit our focus and our perspective and our effort. So someone tells you you're not worth anything and you tend to believe that and you act out on that and you amount to exactly what they said. Then my third book, which is my favorite by far, The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box, is my book of empowerment for women. They help us understand you all that we love so much that find you quite different than us men.
Okay. Can you tell us, I'm sorry, would you be able to tell us about life, about the life before you served from Delphi?
Delphi, yeah, sure. Delphi, I was a senior engineer at Delphi, which was a spinoff of General Motors. I was a senior engineer there for 26 years. And so, you know, I don't know if you know much about the automotive industry, but they pay their employees well. So I was making a pretty good salary, not quite 6 figures, but close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put in the average day, maybe 9-10 hours a day. But, you know, I had a decent job, which allowed me to have a good living, all the perks that go with corporate living, great insurance, discounts on all kind of stuff, cars and everything.
Mm.
So life was quite well and comfortable for us. But in 2007, my particular plant, as well as 7 other plants in the Dayton area, closed. So at that time, it was a challenge. I mean, it was a big thing in the news, you know, with several GM was closing across the nation, closing plants. Mm-hmm. But in Dayton, it was a major hit because 7 out of the 8 facilities that were open closed.
Wow.
So, yeah, now you've got all these people who are either overqualified or underqualified, flooding the market for a limited number of positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just opted at that time. I didn't want to go back into engineering. I had proven I could do the corporate life, you know, been promoted and all that other stuff, but I was tired of that. I really wanted to do something that focused more on me bringing value to people in their lives and not discomfort while they ride in a car.
So how did you make the transition from working in the automotive industry to becoming a writer?
Well, I had actually had done some writing prior to that time. I had been doing some writing. I just recalled the other day, my inspiration really for writing came way back when I was in the sixth grade, and our teacher was reading to us The Lost Boys, and which ended up being a movie as well as That Was Then, This Is Now. So some movies about some guys in the 50s and 60s and their little group, which I guess now we would call a gang. And that really sparked my interest in writing, although I didn't really pursue it until later on. But what I found now is I've been able to transition my engineering skill set, which on the job it was my responsibility to do it better, faster, smarter, quicker, easier, still put out a quality product, and save the company money. So I literally saved GM millions of dollars, or Delphi millions of dollars. And I was able to transition that business side of engineering into the book business by saving my clients now thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars when they go to publish their book. You know, a lot of authors, and I'm sure that your readers and your, you know, the author guests you have, most authors will agree that they are introverts and they are very creative. And as a result, they, lots of times the authors don't have the business background to be able to produce their product if they are self-published, produce a quality product, and do it in a cost-effective manner, and then be able to present a well-written book to the world. And so I've been able to use my engineering skills and put the two together, and they call me an anomaly because I do both, to be able to put that together to, again, save people thousands of dollars and then also be able to put out a quality product.
Now, for all our listeners, if you want to ask Valerie a question, you can call in at 888-429-5471. Once again, 888-429-5471. Now, are you with any major publishing company, or do you self-publish?
I am a proponent for self-publishing. Kind of like the automotive industry, a lot of the major companies are doing this downsizing when it comes to traditional publishers. They are, you know, are laying off people with the advent of e-books and technology. More people are doing it themselves. And so a lot of the major publishers are downsizing. So they are very selective in their choice of writers. And not to say that I wouldn't be able to be accepted. I don't know. I never tried. I went straight into self-publishing because I saw the benefit behind me taking control as to what my cover looked like, what my product contained, when it released, the retail price on it, who my market was, you know. And although it's a lot of work as a self-published author because you're wearing all the hats, it also has more financial rewards. And then again, I can maintain the control of how my book is marketed and positioned. So I never went with the publishing, the traditional publishing route. So publishing is my thing. And that's really what I push my clients. I actually have a couple clients who went from self-publishing and are now traditionally published. And they, you know, the experience of being a self-published author helps them not only create a larger platform, so when they pitch their product to the traditional publisher, they were able to show that I have a history, I have a fan base, I have sold X many number of books, I'm already in position to do this, which made them, you know, a better candidate for the publishing company. But it also then gave them inside information as to how the business works and what they should and shouldn't expect. So it helped them make better business decisions. So I recommend whether you're trying to get traditionally published or if you're looking to self-publish or, you know, vanity press, which I don't recommend, then you still get the advantage as a self-published author of learning more about the business because your hands are in it and you're really, you know, digging into it.
Definitely. Valerie, can you tell us what opportunities do you provide through the self-publishing Made Easy projects?
Well, my self-publishing Made Easy, I have a book. I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. I went to conferences and workshops, and so now I finally decided to put a book together, and I've had enough people saying, hey, where's the book? Where's the book? So now I'm working on the book, Self-Publishing Made Easy, and it'll have a companion workbook, which will help the writer go from the initial phase of writing. It'll deal with publishing and then also marketing, but not just a, you know, how-to guide, but a step-by-step, you know, here's how you work your title. Let's come up with some ideas for a title, you know, so a workbook. So I'm working on those. I have a DVD series that is currently available, which is me for training for about 8 hours, 10 hours, giving you, you know, tips of the trade and tricks. And there's a lot about the industry that if you don't understand it, you could be taken advantage of. And I'm sure you know, in any business, if you don't know what you're doing, someone who has a little more savvy in it will try to take advantage of you.
Absolutely.
So I really try to give a lot of those nuggets out, you know, the industry secrets that the publishers really don't want you to know. And some of the top 5 mistakes that I see new authors make over and over and over again, I put that type of stuff in the DVDs and in the book. But I also hold conferences. I have 3 conferences I do a year. The Pen to Paper Literary Symposium started in 2004. That's my October conference. Then I have the Write On Workshop, which is coming on March 31st. I do that one. This is my 7th year hosting that one. And then the newest event, which will occur on April 28th of this year, is the Dayton Book Expo. And all of those conferences are listed on my website, Pen of the Writer, penofthewriter.com. And then I also do coaching sessions. I do consultations. I travel all over the nation. I'm actually going to Uganda, Africa in December. They're sponsoring me to come out to Africa to do a workshop.
Nice.
I'm excited. I get to go to the motherland, right? Yeah. I haven't been. I've never been. I'm excited. So that's in December. And then the Dayton Book Expo is a partnership I did with 2 of my literary friends, where we've traveled all over the nation, gone to different events and in different cities, and didn't have anything like that in Dayton. So what we've done now is opened it up. So we'll have about 60 authors come through. Last year we had about 600 book lovers. This year we'll open up, you know, maybe double that, and have people coming through to support not just self-published authors. Any authors are welcome, as long as, you know, their material is family-friendly, because it is a family-friendly event. But authors are welcome to come and participate in that event, you know, promote their product, sell their product, and get the word out about what they do to the Dayton book lovers. So the library's on board, several colleges on board. I just do whatever I can to do to help people, because I know how tough this book business is. 10% is writing, 30% is publishing, and the remaining 60% really gets into the marketing, which is the toughest part of any business. You can have a great product, but if you don't let people know you have that product, it really serves no purpose.
No purpose.
So we really do a lot to try to help people get the word out.
Now we are talking to Valerie J. Lewis-Coleman. Valerie, talk to us a little bit about Queen V Publishing and Passionate Pens.
Well, those are, in addition to all the other services that are offered through Pen of the Writer, I have found that when I want to, like, I love to teach. I love to empower. I love to encourage people. So I do a lot of teaching. And what I found is that some people are just like, okay, I appreciate the information. This is a lot. I get what you're saying. I don't want to do the work. You do it for me. So that was the start of Queen V Publishing. As a result, I've published about 20 books now for authors who understood the business but didn't really want to do the work that it takes to get the book published. So that was what the birth of Queen V Publishing. And then Passionate Pens is the program where I go into prisons and I go into schools and I go into churches and teach them about the book business. And then also it's a fundraiser for those organizations. Because now the participants write a book or write a story, submit their story into an anthology, a theme-specific anthology, and then that becomes a fundraiser for that organization where they sell the book or they have an inclusion fee for participation, and then they make money off of that. So it's been a fundraiser I've done with the high school, and I'm working with a couple other organizations right now to do a similar fundraiser.
So as far as Queen V Publishing goes, if you're a new writer out there and you have written yourself a book or a novel and you just have it typed up on your computer or you have it printed out, you would be a person that can help them publish that book, correct?
Yes, that is correct. I step them through the whole process. Some people want to just do all the work themselves, so I have the coaching that I offer where either a 6-month or a 1-year agreement, and I give them access to my resources and I explain to them what they need to do and how they need to do it, where they need to do it, and then they go and do the work themselves. through Queen Bee Publishing. I do all the work, and most of the books that I've done through Queen Bee Publishing have been nonfiction, and all are inspirational or quote-unquote what I would call clean. I don't do erotica, and I don't do street lit. Everything else I've done a little bit of. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, how much would a service like that cost?
The Queen Bee Publishing service, it really depends on which plan they want to go with. I have some people who just want to get like 100 books. I'm just really looking to get 100 books so that I can get them to my family just to test the water and see what, you know, what's going on. Okay. And so the plan includes 1,000 bookmarks, includes typesetting, it includes e-book setup on Kindle, it includes distribution through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Ingram & Baker & Taylor as distributors. And then it also includes typesetting, a customized cover as opposed to just a generic, you know, template-type cover, and online presence. And the package for 100 books is $19.95. Now, that sounds expensive, and I'm the math person. I'm an engineer, so I do the math. And so that ends up being like $20 a book. So what I really encourage my clients to do is, after that first 100 runs, subsequent copies of the book are normally anywhere from, say, $5 to $6-$7 a book. That first print run, of course, is more expensive because we have to pay for the cover. I don't do the covers. I pay a professional. We have to get it typeset. You know, all those one-time expenses that are incurred, getting them set up on Amazon, there's a fee for that, getting them set up so that the Kindle book is, you know, all those things incur expenses. So the second time they go to print, the books are a lot less expensive. And then the other package that I have is 500 copies of the book. That one is $39.95, so the books end up being $8 a piece the first time. And then again, when you go back to print for subsequent copies, they end up being anywhere from $5 to $6-$7 a piece, depending upon the number of pages.
Okay, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. Can you just give out your final parting shots and your contact information one more time?
Sure. I want to encourage your listeners that if they are interested in writing a book, to make sure they research the industry and understand, you know, what's out there, what they're getting into, who's viable and who's not. There are companies out there that have that are called print-on-demand, and there's a slew of them out there with the intent of really making their money off of the author and not off of these book sales. And there are book producers, which is what I do through Queen Bee Publishing, where I actually produce the book. So, of course, there's a fee for me to do the work. And then there's self-publishing, where the person would do it themselves. So I really recommend that they understand what their options are so that they don't get caught up in a bunch of foolishness. I work with a lot of people who have had their dreams stolen, their money taken, and then they ended up with a book that was inferior quality that they couldn't sell or were too embarrassed to sell. So those are the type of people who I've been trying to help. Yeah, because it could be a mess if your book is full of foolishness. So, you know, really understand the industry, and I'm available, of course, for questions or as a resource. My website is penoftherewriter.com. And then my other website, which deals with me as a speaking motivational speaker, and then the problem solving things that I do with step families and in relationships and writers, is Valerie, ValerieJLColeman, Coleman.com. But I'm really on a mission for 2012 to help 10,000 writers become published authors. So hit me up on Facebook at Pen of the Writer and follow some of the information that I'm sharing up there. I'm giving out all kind of nuggets to really help people make better decisions so that they can be not only fulfill their lifelong dream, but then be able to make money after they've done that.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Valerie, we want to thank you for calling in and being a guest on the show tonight. It was a pleasure having you.
Very good information.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Valerie Coleman Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Another good author. I think the book club is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. A lot of good information from our authors this week.
Definitely.
Things I had, again, I had no idea. Audio books, you know, just the ability that an up and coming author has,
and the avenues and that the
are
open to them.
Opened my eyes up tremendously. Got me thinking about writing. You know, exactly. I always talk about a memoir I want to put together.
Yep.
I'm going to be contacting Valerie shortly. See how I could go about that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to today's Entrepreneur Radio Show. We'll play a couple new songs and then we will be back to you on the B-side.
Right.
Hold on with us.
Radio Raheem Devon.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
Or praying on the weak. Some people need prescriptions. Some even lose speech. You can see it in a smile, an expression when a teardrop falls. Even hear it in a whisper, yeah, in a late night phone call. It could be adoring, it could be endearing. Or love can be a bitch and fuck your back. We can even get the lines crossed sometimes. Taking it for the best sex we ever had. Some say it's the one, the one that got away. It's funny how a four-letter word is so complicated, but so meaningful to say. Something about it's beautiful. Talking about love, yeah. The lessons in the irony of it all. The pleasure of the birds and bees. That's how we procreated. Yeah, the way we seem to want and we for I believe that it's internal. Courage to walk away. I believe that it's spiritual. Thou wilt bow our heads and pray. A metaphor of kinetic energy. The signs will never prove. And it's true about what they say. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Oh, yeah. And if it's the color red, hey,
color red.
And shape of a heart, and if it's all we need, then we're all we got. So say,
it's an
action, the things we do, not the words we say. And there's no wealth like being rich with love. So touch it, feel it, taste it. Still something about it is beautiful, yeah. Places for all the wrong reasons.
I suppose
that just makes us human. Cause we all need something to believe in. And out of this thing called love that's beautiful.
The lessons in the
eyes. The blessings of love.
The pleasure of the birds.
The pleasure of the birds and bees. And making love, love.
Something about it's beautiful.
The lessons.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Raheem Devon. That's a nice song. I like that song a lot. Nice and laid back, relaxed.
I gotta get that on the playlist right there.
It's a pretty good record. Now our next guest is LaMontia Sims. She is the co-founder of Triton Business Solutions, a small business development consulting firm headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. LaMontia, how are you doing?
Hey, thanks a lot, gentlemen, for allowing me on tonight. How's everybody?
Everybody's good.
Everybody's good. Here. Now, am I pronouncing your name right? Is it LaMontia?
It is LaMontia. That's correct.
Okay. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Triton Business Solutions?
Well, what Triton Business Solutions does is we work with startup companies and small business owners with 15 or less employees, working with raising capital for them, helping them work with their cash flow, develop their business, help them with the distribution channels, help them penetrate different markets here in the United States and some parts of Asia.
Okay, so if I'm a potential client for you, how exactly does the process begin with the contact process and what information would you need?
Well, we start off, it depends on how you come into us. If you're coming to us as a startup company that you have an idea, or in some cases we have clients who come to us who just want to start a business, don't really necessarily know what they want to do, and they come to us and we give an hour free consultation, phone call with myself or my partner, specifically with our first set of clients. And we talk to them about what they're trying to get accomplished. If they're a startup or just a brand new company, we'll go through that process with them, help them figure out what they want to do, what we need to do for them to get them started, and put them on a path to being successful. Now, if they're already an established company, a lot of times those companies come to us because they're having a cash flow issue. So when they come to us, we sit down and talk with them. Sometimes we'll fly out and talk to them as well once we do the initial workup with them or the interview with them. And we help them raise capital or help them figure out what's wrong with their cash flow. A lot of times it's not necessarily raising capital. It's just being a little bit more efficient with the capital that you have on hand.
Now, how could startup companies raise startup capital?
Well, you got a couple of ways right now. Startup companies, and what we try to do is for our startups, we work with them anywhere from $500,000 for $50,000 up to $500,000. It's kind of my startup raising, helping them raise capital that way. We do a whole lot of private investors that we have that will either loan money to them or inject capital into their company. So that's kind of one way we do it. We have some different peer-to-peer lenders out there that we'll tap into, or we might direct them to tap into those peer-to-peer lenders themselves if they're just going for small loans to help themselves get started as well.
Now, are these loans, are these lines of credit, is this something that equity in a company would be given up for?
It's a mixed bag. It depends. Sometimes they're traditional loans that can either be done by traditional means from some of our banking relationships or some of our institutional relationships that we have. They may be lines of credit based on some of the business needs that the client has. And on occasion, there are equity positions that some of our private investors actually take into some of the companies that will work out with them, and they'll just invest in the company that way.
Can you tell us, like, for people that are, you know, starting the companies up, how do you survive your first year? Like, what are some of the ways that you're going to get past some of those large obstacles that most people face?
Well, I always tell new clients who come on board with us, that very first year is kind of that training wheel year. You need to have a team around you of experts, and you need to tap some of the resources out there. You need a good attorney. You need a good CPA. You need a good business development firm like Triton out there to help you get yourself established. Or in some cases, it might be good for somebody who's just trying their first year to get started. It might be good for them to get into a business model that's already established, i.e. a franchise, and get into that model to help them through that first year. And once they get into whichever business model they want to get into, it's all about cash flow management, good marketing to be successful.
Now, you mentioned cash flow management and good marketing. What are your thoughts on online marketing opposed to non-online marketing?
Well, you know, the new world dictates that online marketing, you need to move in that direction. I say, and what I've seen from my clients, is that you can be tremendously successful relatively quickly, and I'm talking about 6 month period of time, you can really start seeing yourself moving in a great direction with the correct marketing program if you got a great product out there. Products online are easy to sell because people feel that. It's tangible, something that they can get their hands on. I contact you, you send me something, I got it, I feel good about that, and we can move on to the next transaction. Services, a little bit less tangible, a combination of good marketing online, but that old-fashioned traditional marketing, you know, shaking hands, meeting people, getting contacts and things of that nature, those are some really good, still strong ways that my service clients still promote their business and get their business started and increase their distribution channels or their market share that way.
Okay, now, with your clients, what field are your clients usually in? Is there any higher percentage, or is it pretty spread across the board?
Now, I deal with a lot of transportation companies, and I'll break it down to maybe about 45 to 50% of my business is transportation companies or exporting companies. Then you have I have another about 20% that are professional services. Those are doctors specifically that we deal with because we're able to raise them a high level of capital through some of our some means that we have out there to help them raise capital. And that's pretty much what we do for those guys. And the other one I kind of put in a miscellaneous category. They can go from anywhere from green companies to janitorial services, home health care places that people try to start. Some of them are franchises that even though they go to the franchise training, they come back to us to kind of so we can kind of help them, give them some tutorial sessions or help them either further develop their plan or to help them track their plan a little better.
Now, do you see the import-export market growing?
It's going to be great. President flew out when he was in Seattle, Washington, earlier this month. The Import-Export Bank, it was a big write-up out there. They are putting money in that direction. The country right now, the government wants us to start exporting goods out here. You got the Small Business Administration who's loosened up their lending for export. People are trying to establish an export business. I think this is an exciting time to get into export. I always say this, and it's just, you know, the numbers are the numbers. 95% of the rural population is outside the United States. So if there's 7 billion people on this planet and 95% of them live outside of the United States, you got the opportunity from birth to the grave to sell some people something. They're going to consume something during their lifetime. So you just got to find out what niche you want to get them, that you want to service them, either it's a product or a service that you want to deliver. Find that market, penetrate that market, and that's what Triton's here to kind of help people do.
Now, that was a great stat. Could you repeat that one more time about the people living outside of the U.S.?
Well, we have 7 billion people on this planet right now, and 95% of that population is outside of the United States. Only 5% of the rural population is here in the United States, about 315 million people. The rest are outside this country. And you have India, China, the Middle East. You have Eastern Europe. They all are coming up. You got the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, just These people are moving up from rural up into trying to trick into what they call, what we call the middle class. They're starting to have buying power, and they want to consume something. And you have to find out what that demand is for whatever product or service that they need to consume. And sometimes your business or how you can make your money could be in those type of markets right now. It's easy to do business on markets. The government, our government, is making it easy for us to go out and start doing it. And plus, you get a chance to have some fun traveling and seeing the other parts of the world.
Exactly.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to LaMontia Sims from the Triton Business Solutions Company. LaMontia, can you just give your final parting shots and your contact information one more time?
Well, I just want to tell everybody in your audience that now 2012 and beyond is just a great time to start a business, get involved in something, to either do a second income if you want to do something part-time, or if you're unemployed right now, it's no time to worry. It's time to get your get out here, figure out something you want to do. And at Triton Business, we're here to help you out. You can give us a call. You can reach us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30 East Coast time, at 770-249-2357. And if they tell my secretary that they heard about you, heard about me or our company from your radio show, I've told those guys to put you directly into me, or your audience members to come right into me, so they'll get a chance to talk to me directly, and we can see how we can help them.
That's excellent right there. And I like that, and I appreciate that as well. Giving a little extra perk to some of our listeners. We're going to have to work that into our show with some of our guests. Well, you have some excellent information for us, and that's what this show is obviously about. Up and coming entrepreneurs, capital venture, you name it. And you are the backbone to a lot of what people are trying to do.
We appreciate you calling, and have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
So all you startup companies out there, people looking for capital, people looking for business advice, make sure you contact LaMontia Sims. He's with the Triton Business Solutions. He was a good guest. He was a real good guest.
I mean,
this whole show lineup
is overwhelming.
Might have to get a call in the morning.
You have to sit back, listen to the show again. And for our listeners, the show is archived. So, if you missed something, you need some more information,
CBSradio.com,
click archive programs, and you can get all this great information again.
Now, our final guest for tonight is Eli Delaney. Eli is the co-founder, the dean, and the lead trainer for Your Marketing University. And that's a marketing education company. And we'll get into Eli and find out what Your Marketing University is all about. Hey, Eli, what's up?
How you doing? Having a good day here.
Good.
Yeah, we're having a great day. It's been a great show. So, Eli, can you tell our audience and our listeners what exactly is Your Marketing University?
What we do is everything is geared around teaching small business owners things that they can do to market themselves better online, offline, everything in between. The biggest thing that I see going on is a lot of small business owners are either getting downsized or get tired of cubicle life, and they become entrepreneurs, which is great. Entrepreneurs run the world. But they get into it, they have their widget, they love their widget, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they have absolutely no clue how to actually sell it or market it. So our goal is to be able to give them the education and the training that they need in order to understand the basics of marketing. That way they become a marketer, and they can still hire people to do some of the manual labor stuff, but they understand the process. That way they know what's going on, whether it be building your website, having somebody help you with your social media, it doesn't matter what area, but you've got to have those foundations to know that you can talk the same language and make sure that people are doing the right stuff for you.
Sounds good. Now, how exactly do you get this information to your customers? Is it a class, an online class, or is it some type of literature? How do you teach them?
Most of it is web-based training courses. We also do have live training. It's generally web-based as well because we do have clients all over the world. But we do some stuff. We're here actually here based in Phoenix. So a lot of times, even if we do a live event, we'll actually stream that as well. So people outside of the Phoenix area can have access to that information as well.
Now, so many business owners are overwhelmed with marketing and don't know where to start with all the different gurus out there. How can they overcome that feeling?
The biggest thing, and I know overwhelmed, when I do a lot of speaking, and when I do, I'll ask the question is, what do you think of marketing, or do you love marketing? And of course, most of the people do not raise their hand. They're not, you know, they're kind of shy on it. And the biggest thing that I get is that they do get overwhelmed with all the different options that are out there. You know, so many people are getting bombarded with local advertising stuff, social media stuff. Mobile marketing is now one of the big top things. There's so many different options out there. They just don't know where to start. And the biggest thing is to make sure that you have a strategic plan of really who you're targeting first, and then figure out where they're going to be. You know, if you're dealing with 90-year-olds, they're not going to be on Facebook. So it's silly to try to market there.
That's
so
right.
Find where your audience is going to be and pick that one thing. Focus on it, get really good at it, and then move on to adding another tactic into your mix.
Being as busy as most of us are, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs actually have 9-to-5s, and then, you know, they're trying to start up their business in the after hours. What is your take on actually helping somebody manage this and, you know, just optimize their day when they're trying to get this extra business started or in the marketing?
The biggest thing is we do all end up running out of time. I mean, we've only got 24 hours in a day no matter what we're doing. The most important thing is to get one system and just build a system. What's the process of being as efficient as possible, and document everything that you do. You know, create a step-by-step process, just like if you were going to hire an assistant or hire a sales manager or whatever piece that is, document it step-by-step so you have step one, I do this, step two, I do this, step three, I do this, and that way you know exactly what to do, how long it's going to take you. And the cool thing about that is as you grow and you're ready to bring more people into your business, you already have a system ready and in place.
Okay. Now we're talking to Eli Delaney from Your Marketing University. Now, when I was researching you, I came across a phrase, spaghetti against the wall marketing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, spaghetti against the wall marketing is what a lot of entrepreneurs do when they first try to get going. It's basically where they will try a little bit of everything. It's throwing against the wall and seeing what sticks. And so many entrepreneurs are doing that right now, where they're getting bombarded by all the different things and they're trying everything a little bit, but they're not actually implementing it to its fullest capability. And 90% of what they're doing doesn't work just because they haven't tried it long enough. They haven't put enough effort into it and made sure that they're strategic about what they're doing. So spaghetti against the wall marketing is basically the trying to see if something might work and hoping without actually having a plan in place. And we definitely want to get away from that. We don't want to be doing spaghetti against the wall. We want to make sure that we know exactly what we're doing, when we're doing it, how we're doing it. When you do that, you get crystal clear focus of exactly what you need to do, and the whole scariness of marketing ends up going away.
Allows you to streamline a lot better, I would imagine, as well. So, like you said, just a lot better time saver.
So, Eli, what advice do you have for all new entrepreneurs?
The biggest advice that I have for new entrepreneurs, especially somebody who's just getting started, is sit down and plan out what you're going to do. You know, having an actual marketing plan. And we're not talking about a, you know, 50-page thing that you would end up taking to a bank or somebody to get capital funding. We're talking about something you can put on one paper that says, here's who I am, here's who I want to help, here's who my market is, and this is the way I'm going to reach that market. Plan that out. Get that one system in place. once you do that, it keeps you laser focused on what you need to work on and helps you stay away from all the other shiny objects that are out there, which is one of the biggest things I see entrepreneurs are having trouble with. Everybody and their dog says that they've got some new tactic, that's some push button magic bullet. And it's, you just have to have one plan and stick it through.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Eli Delaney from Your Marketing University. Well, Eli, can you give your final parting shots and your contact information for all our listeners?
Well, yeah, definitely. Thank you very much for having me. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, you're going to have some ups and downs. Stick it out. You know, we small business entrepreneurs are what run this country. I have a blast with what I do. I work with a lot of small businesses. And it's really worth it if you'll just stick it out and stick to one plan, follow it through. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can go to yourmarketinguniversity.com. And once you get there, you can find all kinds of information, how to connect with me on social media. We have a report that I give away called the Small Business Marketing Roadmap. If you download that, that's going to really help you build a lot of the systems, and that's completely free.
I'll definitely be checking that website out a little bit later myself, and I know a lot of the listeners will as well.
So, Eli, thanks for being a guest on the show, giving us a call, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Eli.
All right. Thank you very much. And always let me know if there's anything I can do for you guys.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. That was an excellent
That was Eli
show.
Delaney, Your Marketing University. Check them out. They can help you with all your marketing issues.
I'm overwhelmed tonight.
Tonight was a great show.
All the info. I mean, I like to, you know, check on to everything, you know, and everybody's information that we've been, when the show goes through, I like to look at everybody's site, you know, and I feel bad. Cause I
while it's fresh in your mind. And we're going to have a round two with our guests and see where they're at and get some questions from the audience. Now, let's play our final song for tonight. It's the most requested song we have. Suave, Heaven. And we'll be back right after that.
You're my little piece of heaven. That's what you are to me.
That's what you are to me.
That's what you are.
No matter the weather,
you shine bright for all to see.
Heaven, heaven.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's Entrepreneur Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams.
It was a good show tonight, man. What you think?
It was excellent.
Had a lot of good guests, a lot of informative guests.
I'm brainstorming, man. I'm just thinking about how to, you know, compile. I guess I'm going to put something together so that everybody that comes to the show, you know, everybody, all the listeners could come back, look at it. You know, I want to categorize our guests.
Yeah, bring
somehow,
them.
You know, just let people
come up with the system,
come back, because, you know, it might not be for like a month, let's say, and you might think, hey, either I was just, you know, what he was talking about fits my needs right now, or you know, the what was the other one, the Triton
Business Solutions.
You know, somebody might a month later be like, all right, now it's time for me to call him up. I'm trying to get some capital, so I want them to be able to come back to our site and, you know, look that up and utilize that, because that's what this is about, networking. Keeping our listeners informed and getting them the information they need to take the next step into their business that they're trying to obtain.
I would like to thank the lovely Terry Woods for calling in with us today, the best-selling author. She took a lot of time out of her busy schedule to give us a holler, man. So
that's a New York Times selling author right there.
That's know? Big, that's New York Times. She's probably sold.
That's an accolade.
With all her books, I would say at least over 1 million copies.
Oh, yeah.
True to the Game was 400,000 copies last time I checked, and that's
she's in the
12 years old.
She's in the millions.
She's got to be.
She has dozens of books, and she sounded like a pretty happy camper on the phone, just doing what she wants to do, like she said, you know.
And she sounded like she was in a good space. Well, guys out there, y'all, let's have a good weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you on Monday.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a pleasure.
Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Signing off.
Thank you for listening to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, J.R. Williams, alongside Michael Calloway. We appreciate you tuning in tonight and hope that you enjoyed the show. Until next time, please keep a successful state of mind and keep the creativity brewing.